Hello, Star.
Oh, Wallace, I feel like you got things on your mind.
I got a lot on my mind. Yeah, so much it feels like it's almost leaking out.
Where is it going?
Well, I'm looking around at what's happening right now in the face of this global pandemic, and it kind of feels like walls are closing in on everybody. And we're in a bucket. We're like crabs in a bucket, and the bucket is getting smaller. And we can feel that we all want out of this bucket. But when we look up, we can see these bigger crabs, our leaders, standing between us and the exit. And they can see us.
Of the pig farm? You're not getting out of this pig farm?
Yeah, we can see these glorified elite leaders that are pretending to be on our side, but when we come for the edge and we want to get out of the bucket, they're standing there saying, hold on a second. Mm. No. We just need to vote for a bigger bucket next year.
That's when they step on your fingers, too. When you try to reach your way out of the bucket, that's when they stomp on your fingers, like in those superhero movies where you're hanging onto the cliff.
Exactly. And we're already only hanging on with one hand, so we can't afford that.
Yeah, true.
And then we look from the edge of the bucket, and we can see this boiling pot of water. And we're getting closer to it. Whoever's carrying the bucket is bringing us to that water.
Gulp.
And we know it. But then these these big crabs near the exit, they say, well, hang on. No, that boiling water is just for the terrorists. So, if you're not a terrorist.
Yeah, the use of terrorist has become even more loose, hasn't it? Who counts as a terrorist, I think. Silence is violence. Ideas are crimes.
At this point, if you just go mm-mm and shake your head to something the government says, you're basically on a list, right? So.
Yeah, I always remember one of those Mao's Red Guard, this girl who wrote about that, she was in the Red Guard, and then she was looking back on it later, and she said that just the color of pants you were wearing was enough to beat a person to death, because it was so triggering.
That brings me back to the tribal gang wars that were happening between the Bloods and the Crips, even, right? You were wearing the wrong color in the wrong place at the wrong time, that was it. And interesting how it can devolve to something that simple.
Yeah,
being justification.
Yeah, and actually a guy just mentioned that to me this morning. He was talking about how he was trying to put it into words where the fighting is coming from around him. And it was very profound how he put it. And we all know that, like, drugs are fueled in on pipelines to make sure that people fight, to make sure that people are killing each other.
Right.
And, we're all in a different kind of strange struggle for survival.
Yeah, we're in that crab bucket, and the interesting thing is, everybody that seems to be talking as if they've got solutions, they never talk about how we've got opposable thumbs and AR-14s, and we could just shoot our way out of the bottom of the bucket, right?
Well, that said, violence is always a trap. It's always a lie. And the government is famous for giving weapons to people with a low IQ, people who can barely function. They give them weapons. It's over and over and over again. The stories are all out there. Every time there's some kind of self-defense, that people try to defend themselves, the government will come along and make it look like a terrorist act.
Right.
I mean, under Obama, that's where they droned the U.S. citizen, right? There was a kid who was like 16.
Yes, in Yemen.
Yeah, U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. And now they're talking about droning other U.S. citizens. I had a problem with it back then when they did it, but that was under Obama, and every Democrat I know loved it.
Yeah.
They were all fine with it.
I remember that.
And, I wasn't fine with it, but now it's okay. They're thinking about droning people and taking away kids. All of the bad ideas they have never occurred to me to do to people. So it's kind of ironic who's the terrorist.
yeah, the propensity for war. The interesting thing about the political spectrum is it originates from France hundreds of years ago, and it was literally a disagreement over something that today we'd find pretty minor, and it was simply one side of the argument sat on one side of the building and the other side of the argument sat on the other side of the building, and it was defined by left versus right. And since then, the pundits, the Marxists, all the people that decided what ideologies fall where, did us all a disservice by taking individualism and collectivism and mixing them up and putting them on both sides. And it's fascinating that you have a political spectrum where if you become more libertarian and more individualist, you somehow also are getting closer to fascism. Mm. That has never made any sense to me, because fascism is not about individualism. It's about, there's a lie about individualism that's hidden in there, but it's a collective ideology, and
they certainly don't want us to like the individual. And they certainly do want fascist corporate power. They want mega corporate power that's tied in with government. And that was always kind of sad when Democrats were like, oh, the government needs to rein in these corporations. And I was like, the government is the corporations, and the corporations are the government. They don't police each other. They're unified in screwing us and stepping on us and suffocating us.
Right. And I mean, they get together, have meetings, especially these social media companies are getting together with the CIA, the FBI, handing over personal data, giving them back doors. They got their funding from these people. I mean, yeah, there's no separation there.
So I feel like you woke up with, like, did you take a red enema?
Oh, yes. Well, you see, it's accurate because it feels like we're all filled with shit our entire lives.
You're not wrong. No lies detected, Wallace.
You can take the red pill, but you're still, you know, there's all this stuff built up inside of you that you got to evacuate.
You're thinking suppository style enema.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like a lot of people today have taken the pill, but it's only done a little bit, and they need the suppository.
They need the, you know, there's a coffee enema version that they do for cancer patients, and it is, that is a potent thing. And the whole point of that coffee enema is that it triggers your liver, and that will clean out your soul.
Right.
Which I think a lot of people need.
You need to get the body healing itself. Triggering the body to heal itself is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, and in this, I definitely see you've got, in this survival that we're in, these crabs in a bucket, you've got the body, you've got the mind, you've got a raw energy, a drive to survive and live, and nobody wants you defending yourself. No one wants you defending your own right to exist. It's supposed to be selfish to exist.
Right. Yeah, we've been taught for 20 years at least, if not longer now. I mean, it started in the 70s with the environmentalism movement speaking about overpopulation and the selfishness of Western people and all this stuff. And the funny thing is now they say, oh, yeah, we know that China and India and these places are polluting drastically and it's awful, but we've got to let them go through their development. You know, it's their turn to rise out of poverty, and they're going to make a lot of toxic waste in the process. But we can't stop them because, well, we did it, and it's their turn now. And it's what they need to rise out of poverty. And then in the next breath, they will tell us, you shouldn't drive vehicles that burn petroleum because 8 million people die every year of pollutants from fossil fuels. But what they'll never mention is the fact that fossil fuels themselves are the reason that billions of people are alive right now. And without them, those 8 million people that die from the pollutants, which I don't know if I trust that number, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Those people wouldn't even be here without the fossil fuels in the first place.
And our ruling class doesn't want them here. They don't want billions of people here. They're mad.
Right. Isn't that interesting, too? They also say the Earth is overpopulated, but they're sticking up for the most populated countries that are causing the most amount of toxic waste. And then also telling us in the West we should kneel down and live a lifestyle where we're eating bugs and scraping moss off of rocks.
Do you remember when Obama, he did that grand tour of Africa and he went and basically told them they couldn't have air conditioning?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he did tell them that, and I'm thinking, my God, you just told a whole continent of people that they can't have air conditioning? That's bold.
Well, I think he was okay with Kenya having air conditioning.
Ah, yeah. Kenya.
Because Kenya's different.
His
Kenya's
brother.
Special. I forget why.
His brother is hilarious. I don't know if.
Yes.
I don't know what is the deal. I always assume that the truth is not anything that I know, but whatever is the situation there is hilarious, the stuff that his brother says.
Now, his brother, I don't know what to take of any of it.
I know.
I don't know if if it's genuine or if it's some sort of weird controlled opposition, but it's funny. I'll say that. It's funny.
Yeah, so I notice, the whole selfish storyline, that the UN wants you to feel that it's very selfish to exist. And actually on Twitter, Lovecraft, I love. I don't know who that is, but he or she had this great thread. It was something they wrote about an existence where this was like a sci-fi story about these death pods and people going to the death pod because all the slogans said like, do your part for nature, go to the death pod. Mm. And the story was about this person that walked by the death pods and thought about it, contemplated, like, oh, maybe that would be a good, the best possible thing to do with my life, and is just to go in there and die, Right. And of course, it's totally dystopian, totally Orwellian, but there's truth to it. And our ruling class loves it when people die. They love it.
No, it's true that, and it's almost related to the idea of sacrifice and occult power that comes from a willing sacrifice versus an unwilling sacrifice.
Yeah, who
certainly
knows?
If we look back at history, can see just how many times that we as average people have been tricked into giving up our lives for lies, right?
Oh, yeah, who knows how much of this is just a blood ritual and they just want blood. I've heard even with blood donations, weird things happen to that blood. Or maybe that it's resold. So here you are thinking that you're doing a nice thing for some dying person. Like, oh, I'll give them blood. And then it gets resold. We talked about how recycling is a lie. And I think even the most charitable aspects of existence right now, where you think you're doing a nice thing. Like, I totally don't believe in the World Wildlife Fund either. Right. Because basically they just control all the best and most beautiful land on Earth and then they act like it's a charity.
Well, I think it's part of the UN corridor system, actually. It's all of those land preserve charities that are tied to the United Nations they're the beginning of building the corridors of where human beings can and can't go in their own country.
Exactly. And,
now with this COVID, we're seeing it ramp up to the point where now it's not just the preservation of wildlife areas and corridors for animals to travel safely over highways, etc. But now it's even where we're allowed to go from region to region, from state to state, from city to city. It's going to get harder and harder to travel. You're going to need special paperwork and there's going to be checkpoints to verify that you are approved to go where you're going to go. You'll get limited by state and federal governments as to vacation time because, we can only allow people to go one place at a country per year because of the impact. And it's just going to keep ramping down that way. It's just going to keep ratcheting.
What a nightmare.
They always do everything incrementally because if you were to see it all happen at once, you might do something about it, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and people don't put together how the stock market's tied with the currency and the lifestyle and your travel and how... later on, if you don't have a good social credit score, all it takes is one switch to make sure that you can't leave your chair. There won't be travel. And people, these things are out there. they're out there. They write books about it. They talk in depth. They have their meetings. They pull up with their limousines. They talk about this over lunch. But people still have a really hard time believing that's where we're at. But then the fences come down around you, and there it is.
Well, I think maybe now is a good time that people get given the Red Suppository. And it's not going to be pretty, but you're going to feel better afterwards.
Ooh,
I promise.
Ooh.
You will feel better afterwards. Because right now, you're right. Existence itself is an act of rebellion. Every breath is a middle finger to what they're trying to do. But we have to ask ourselves, obviously we never promote or condone or advocate for violence.
No.
But
and they will
self-defense
always,
is a different story.
Yes, and they will always try to make it sound, whenever people defend themselves, they will try to make it sound like it's mentally ill. Like it's mentally unstable. It's mentally unstable for you to have common sense and know that 2 and 2 is probably 4. The sky is not made of gold.
Well, if you look at what happened with, I believe it was the Patriot Act 2. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but they changed the law for who can define someone as mentally ill. And they took it out of the hands of a psychologist and they gave it to judges.
Ooh.
And at the same time,
ouch,
they also defined people who believe in conspiracy theories as mentally ill. And so what they did was they created a situation where someone who is not an expert in psychology can give you a clinical diagnosis in a courtroom while sentencing you for believing anything other than the official story. And that gets us back to the boiling water that is for the terrorists.
And I think that has happened, like, in Germany. I feel like there was at least one woman who was a researcher of some kind who was taken as a mental case. Like, she didn't want to go along with this, everything this past year, and she was treated as a mental case. Right. So that there's at least that. And that there's a lot happening with individuals, and so much is happening at one time that we can't even keep track of where are these people going? The people who are detained, and why were they detained? And where are they being held?
Oh, and it's in other countries, like you say, Germany, but I know about Canada, what they're doing there right now, which is interesting because I believe that their courts just ruled that it was against the Charter of Rights they have. But people that are out of country that come back through an airport that have a test that says they are negative are getting detained against their will, taken to hotels that have been purchased or rented from the corporation that is a Chinese corporation, and those people are forced to pay their own quarantine cost, which is about $2,000, and then they have to submit to a government test, and these people are being taken in unmarked vans with tinted windows to facilities to be tested where there are plastic tents like an ET, and you've got full-on hazmat suits, and they're being treated like aliens that just landed from
with
a spaceship.
With butt swabs. That's everybody's
right.
Worst alien nightmare is that you get loaded onto
we're all
a
getting
spaceship.
Yeah, we're all getting probed.
There's a great gif of that, that it's time to probe Uranus.
I love Uranus. It's such a good planet, and it gives us so much. So much to laugh about.
So much light. So much light there. But yeah, that's everybody's worst nightmare. And I always think it's funny whenever butts come up. I notice that, you know, guys sometimes want to get near girl butts, but whenever the Chinese anal swabs, whenever that topic comes around, the guys all sit down.
Right.
Guys don't want anything to do with that. And they shouldn't, because it's straight up like reaching into a cow. Which I understand sometimes you gotta pull things out of a cow, but I don't think we're there yet.
The interesting thing is every single advancement that is made in COVID testing seems to be also an advancement in dehumanization.
You are so right about that. You are so right about that. And that seems like another pattern that we're witnessing is the taking away of dignity, which I saw happen. I always saw it happening more and more and more. But yes, you are right. Absolutely. They
want to keep stripping more and more of our pride, our humanity, to the point where we do feel like cattle with no rights, and we are willing to walk into the slaughterhouse knowing what it is and what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think people need to ask themselves, you know, we talk about what is self-defense. And some people will think about self-defense and they'll say, well, once I've been hit, it's okay to hit back. But we're in a fight right now, and we have to ask ourselves, what constitutes being hit first? Do we actually wait until a butt of a rifle hits us in the side of the head to say we've been attacked? Or when we are finally out of options, have we been attacked?
Well, it's. I think every time we send in money that is used to blow up people across the world, that I don't want those people to die. And it's done against my will. So I'm basically, I'm being terrorized by the powers that be. They're taking my money and using it against my will to kill people that I want alive.
Right. That's something that a lot of people who've been woken up recently need to wrestle with and come to some conclusions on, which is the false paradigm between left and right and the things that are bipartisan that we share. When we take a position where we can find ourselves saying...
As you say that, I'm thinking of the anal
not
swab.
The biggest... That's one position, yeah. Not a position I want to... I'm not bending over for the New World Order, I'll
yeah,
tell you that.
Okay, we're going to stay right side up, butt down. Yeah.
Keep the cheeks clenched. Really tight. If you're not doing buns of steel, you need... To those out there, I'm going to date myself a little bit, but if you're not doing buns of steel every night, then you don't know what's coming.
And every time they try to sneak up on there, you're like, government, I feel you yes. doing something back to government.
If you don't leave the hairs on your ass to feel when they're getting close, you got a problem.
Do not wax down there. It's an alert system.
Exactly. When they start standing up, clench. So, so we have to know, though, that what they're doing right now is playing a game of chess. They're not coming straight at us, hit us. They're not fair fighters, right?
I'm thinking of like prisoners and soap. That's okay.
Well, we could definitely go there. I think we're already in the shower. Let's give an analogy there. As a society, we're already in the shower.
Yes.
There's already 10 bubbas standing around us. There's nowhere to run. There is soap.
I got my butt to the wall.
I think the only thing we can do is reach down and grab the soap and then smash the other 9 bubbas. Well, and we'll deal with the one behind us when they're dealt with, right?
There's where it is that they want to make it that you're being selfish to not share your butt.
Yes.
Your silence right. is violence. If you don't open up your butt to everybody else there, you are being selfish, and you do not have a right. So really, you know, it's the ultimate irony for a society that says, my body, my choice.
Exactly.
That you are not allowed to defend yourself in a shower where people want your butt.
there is some cognitive dissonance there, and I encourage everybody to find people who are pro-abortion that celebrate it and fight for it, and go and look at their profiles, because I guarantee you that they will also be the ones celebrating that COVID deniers are being forcibly taken against their will.
Oh, they love it.
Swabbed up the butt. Right.
I mean, it sounds funnier when we say it. You know, sometimes when I make a Thanksgiving turkey, I think about these things. I think about it, but, you know...
Not when you're stuffing it, I hope.
What?
Not when you're stuffing it, though, I hope.
I just, you know, I have empathy for all living things and what gets put right. where, but, yeah.
Have you ever made a turducken?
I have not, but I get the idea.
I think our society is about to be turduckened, right?
Yeah. We're stuffed and packed.
Right. We're getting a... I don't know if the chicken goes in the duck or the duck goes in the chicken.
Yeah.
But it's not going to feel very good.
Yeah, they keep it very dry. They keep it very dry, yeah. Wallace. Yeah, so...
There's no gravy.
So, yeah, we have this situation where they don't want us to defend ourselves. And if you do defend yourself, you defend your own right to personal space, that is considered unhinged, and the government has to come in and put you down. They've got to put you down because you think you don't have to share your butt.
Basically, we're in a situation where it's wake up or Waco, because the people that are coming for us, they're framing the narrative as if we're all David Koresh.
Oh my God.
And we're running some sort of convent or, you know, proliferating our DNA throughout the world and pretending it's a religion. And they're calling us cult crazy.
Yeah, which I really like the phrase branch COVIDians. That's the people who are so cult-like, who think that you should line up with, you know, wear a bubble suit and get the butt swab, and that is normal, and you walking outside is not normal. That is against the law, and they'll scream
at
you.
Isn't that the irony?
Yeah.
Isn't that the irony that for some reason we're okay calling something a cult if it's got a supernatural element, but when it's so intentionally against the supernatural, we don't call it a cult. And yet these people, they are so primitive in their thinking, they're so sure of things they can't prove. It reminds me of Stephen Hawking, who for most of his career never discounted the existence of a god until the end, and he came up with some totally unprovable statement that God can't exist because God would have to have existed outside of time, and nothing can exist outside of time, so there can be no God. I'm oversimplifying his position, but he said that in a way like he could prove it, and he didn't even have a calculation or a formula to even get him close to that. And I think that has always spoke to me as part of the psyche of these people, these branch COVIDians, is they disagree with the idea of anything that can't be explained so much that they're willing to take an explanation that can't explain.
That's totally bizarre.
And believe in it
as
if it can be explained. And that is at the core of their problem when they believe in what they're being told by experts that change their story every 2 weeks. And when you say to them, well, 2 weeks ago, that's not what they were saying. And you trust in the science, but how can you trust in it when it was so wrong just 2 weeks ago? Did we just learn about virology yesterday?
Yeah.
Because from my understanding, we've been learning about it for decades, and things that we believed for decades are being turned on their heads.
Well, and then the last thing they'll say is try vitamin D.
Right. They never talk nutrition.
Water.
They never talk sunlight. They never talk exercise.
Yeah. Drink water.
There's nothing like a 600-pound woman sitting in a symposium on what should be done with the city in response to COVID and advocating that everybody be forcibly vaccinated to save lives while they're stuffing cheeseburgers down
their throat. Were you at that meeting I went to?
No, but
I went to a meeting that looked exactly like that. Exactly like that. There were a bunch normal kind of guys saying like, well, now, I'm not sure if this required... And there was one real angry lady, and she was not playing. And I did kind of feel like, as a girl, the war has to be between... Well, the war and the disagreement has to be between me and her, because none of the men can say a word.
Right. So much neutering in who's allowed to talk.
Totally, totally. And that's the case in every society that has ever been colonized. Britain is experts on that. And people always act like Britain is our ally. No, they did not want you free in 1776. They haven't wanted you free since. And that's why when you meet a lot of British people, they are indoctrinated that we are the dumbest, most filthy, ignorant animals on earth, because that's what the Empire tells them. But...
Right.
Yeah, people don't know that. They don't know that their kids get
indoctrinated. Well, when they look at when they look at what's happening to them now, I mean, they're being arrested for singing in their gardens, right?
Oh God.
And and that if that's not evidence of the difference between how our rights are defined and their rights are defined,
which is so epic.
They don't have any.
When you consider now, there's this lady on Twitter talking about opioids, the opioid crisis, and that is huge, and it's billions, it's many billions of dollars, and the people who made profits from that, they will never be held to account, and the lives that they've destroyed, the millions of lives, the suffering. I see little kids that don't have parents because their parents are totally destroyed. Like, a lot of broken white people, you know, just it's something that white people really fell to, and just the suffering and the sickness that
and the destruction of men has
definitely,
it's taken away that alpha energy that is intelligent enough to see what's happening and brave enough to stand at the front and say, no, we see you, this is what you are, you're not going to do that to these people anymore.
Well, yeah.
And if you do, something's going to happen to you, right?
Yep, and when you say, where did the war begin? Okay, when you allow opioids to destroy a world, because it's not only the United States, but I think the United States was targeted, and certain areas of the United States were targeted, and pharma salesmen, pharma reps were making tons of money on that. But when you allow that kind of sickness to take your people and you allow that to move forward and eat your citizens alive, who's the war on? Who started the war? If I were running a country, I would try to protect my people, not have them be eaten alive. There's so many ways that we have been culled and censored and purged and suffocated and stifled before we ever got to today.
Yeah. Yeah, the CIA has been running drugs into the United States since its inception, and that expanded out to the military-industrial complex, and I mean, we saw it in Afghanistan. What was the first thing that they went in to protect? Right? The poppy field. And a lot of neocons, and some of the people on our side now used to be neocons, they were okay with that. And meanwhile, they're also okay with the war on drugs, putting people in jail for, you know, life sentences. And there, you have to have this massive level of cognitive dissonance to be able to accept both of those things at the same time.
Yeah, and it's really, you know, when you talk about the red pill, one of the biggest red pills is knowing that the people at the top of our society are usually the worst.
Yeah, psychopaths rise to the top.
They really do. They really do. And it seems like every generation has to deal with this. You know, are there different bloodlines? Where does this come from? That you have some people who are power hungry, and then you have other people who just want to be left alone. And that's, we are there. By 100 million times over, we are there, where you have the power-crazed, psychotic tyrants at every level wanting to run everything. And then you have a whole group of people that just wants to be left alone. If I could leave the world sit and go sit by the ocean, that's where I'd be. But I can't, because every time I look away and I step away, my world is falling apart. They're making it that I can't cash a check without proving where I was that day that I won $500 in the lottery, or
right.
I can't live my life. I can't just step away and keep living my life. They're taking my world apart every time I step away.
And that comes back to, let's circle back here, to self-defense.
Psaki.
What is self-defense? Yes, Psaki is pastupid, I know.
I cannot help myself.
You have to start using pastupid, because P isn't silent in pastupid.
Yeah, she was awful under Obama, and I was so glad that was done, and then now they just bring back everybody that nobody wants to see. It's like that right there is a psyop by itself, just to make people feel like they're in crazy town. All these people you never wanted to see again, here they are.
You can't tell a lie if you never say anything. If you just say circle back all the time, you're okay.
It's funny, and apparently nobody's holding her to account. She can just, and well, to be honest, who would want to be responsible for what's going on? I mean, I would probably play dumb, wouldn't you? I mean,
I don't know if I could play dumb. It's not in me.
I know, you're bad at that.
If I had a gun to my head, I'd find a way, I'm sure.
You're bad at that.
But
that's,
speaking of...
Yeah, that's what makes you dangerous, yes. Wallace.
I don't comply. I can't take orders from stupid people.
You can't say that. Say we are friends of international cooperation in this house.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Well, you know, I figure right now we're sitting in the forest far away from where any human beings can hear us. So I'm actually, as a man, allowed to say some things right now.
You are?
And I think I have something to say to everybody, and that is we need to appreciate what got us here. Mm. And we've been conditioned to become lazy and fat and slothful and apathetic. And these are some hard truths that need to be shoved in us where the sun doesn't shine, because we're not,
rinse
we're
it
not
out,
getting
Wallace.
These things.
Rinse it out.
Yeah. We're not getting these things orally. Basically, when you look back at the history of human beings, there is mainly suffering and misery and struggle and oppression and slavery and violence and rape and human beings as chattel. No rights, no type of life that anyone alive today is tough enough to endure and enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
We've come so far from where we were. And we've been conditioned to not care about that fact. And we've been conditioned because the people that don't want us to care want to take this life from us. And this life, if you were to go back 100 years ago and tell people what kind of life you'd be living, they would absolutely die 1,000 times in the most painful ways for a chance at that kind of life. Mm. And we have it right now.
Yeah.
And it seems like we're giving it up for the most simple of excuses that can be easily proven wrong.
Yeah, there's that whole idea, the risk of losing everything, but what are you losing by sitting still? And it doesn't mean that you have to go charge some higher power. You can actually be totally active in your own existence without changing the outer world at all, but you can be active in your existence and make a choice to live with dignity in a world that is collapsing around you. You can still choose to be of service to the people that you love, and your breathing and your waking up in the morning is an act of rebellion. It is the ultimate
F-U. But on top of that comes knowing what it took to gain us our freedoms and respecting that and to not give them up, because they can't be taken. They can only be submitted. When we agree to abide by the oppression, then we're giving them up willingly. They're not taking them. They can't take them.
Yeah.
Because freedom, human rights, they exist whether or not there's a piece of paper that says they exist. You could rip up every copy of the Constitution and declare that it never existed.
They will do that.
But your rights don't come from that piece of paper.
Yeah.
That piece of paper simply mentions that they were there before the paper was even made.
That's why people like to say, you know, the parrot talking points are that the Constitution is outdated, that we need a different document, blah, blah, blah. That document is one of the most radical things that has ever happened in the history of this world. It is radical. It is like Jesus turning over the tables to say people can govern themselves. People can govern themselves, and they don't need a king. The idea that you can have a different form of society other than kings and nobles and aristocrats telling the dirty filth where to go and how to live. We had this radical opportunity for a couple hundred years, but good people are always too quiet. They're always too quiet.
Right. And what happens when good men do nothing in the face of evil? Evil triumphs. And what we're seeing right now is the Constitution has been declared as the reason for your rights, when even reading it, you can see that's not true.
Yeah.
The Constitution tells you where they come from, that we're recognizing they exist regardless. of the existence of the Constitution. So,
and it limits the
if the Constitution
the
doesn't give them,
mm-hmm.
how can ripping it up take them away?
Yes. And the Constitution limits what government can do to you, not limiting the people. It's limiting the government because they knew that government will get out of control. Every entity that has any power will get out of control. I just had a, when I said that, I just had an image of myself getting super power hungry. I couldn't really picture it, but I think it looked like that really angry woman at the town meeting. Ah.
What I like to say is, nobody is worthy of power over another, but least of all are the ones that want that power.
Yes. Yes, my God.
Anybody that's seeking
it. And that's where we're at.
Is wrong.
Yeah, that's where we're at. By the way, someone sent me something. I'm going to read this to you. I think it's going to sound funny when I read it, but... Okay, so this is a song. Welcome to the Global Gulag. Black masks, body bags, children screaming in the night. People too afraid to run or fight. While you were sleeping, you were chained. As they freed your body, your mind was enslaved. Now empty cells await for thought crimes. It's troubled times for enemies of the state.
Yes, that's a pretty accurate summary of what we're in right now.
Art.
The global gulag.
Art is terrorism. Silence is violence. Ideas are a crime.
The nice thing about ideas is they're in a place that they can't get to yet.
Yet.
They're in the mind.
Yet.
And, well, they do have technology that can get in there. I mean, I've known that they've been able to beam dreams into people's heads for over a decade.
Yes, yes. And, you know, they can beam advertisements straight into your skull. So there was a news story about a place that was doing that. And this was quite a while ago. This was an old story from, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, where people came up with this marketing campaign to blast the messages using some kind of, well, it was some kind of sound that could seem to come inside your own head. And when people walked by, yeah. they were like, why am I hearing ads for Banana Republic in my brain?
Right. It's going off your, I forget the name of the bone, but the bone in your ear, it can resonate on that, and then you can actually hear it. Audibly.
Okay, all right, yeah, it was ads for something, and then I think people got kind of creeped out by it, and they might have put that on pause, but yeah, it's an open thing, that, and yeah, the government can do all kinds of things. I saw this presentation from MIT about neural weapons, and okay, Kim Kardashian has how many hundreds of millions of views, right? And this thing about neural weapons, my God, it had like 1,500 views, okay? Nobody is watching what these people are doing, and it was so dark. That's one of those things, you know, when you talk about the red suppository, it is a serious thing for us to be able to control our own thoughts still for now. And
absolutely.
Even though our thoughts are already skewed based on what they show us, what we're triggered by, the symbols that they use that we don't even know, we're not even aware.
It's never enough for them. They always want more power and more control. And it reminds me of an interesting story that I think Stephen King wrote. I forget the name of it now, but it was about
this town. Does he write interesting
town.
Stories? I'm not a fan.
Well, you know, he's got the TDS real bad. But
he totally does. He totally does.
Yes. Before that, I think he might have some dark secrets in his closet based on his style
Could
of writing.
He?
But what I know is he wrote an interesting story. I never read the story, but I read a summary about it. And it's about this town that has problems, and the government decides to fix those problems, we're going to put antidepressants in the water supply.
Roger that.
And the government has actually talked about doing this. They've talked about one of the possible solutions to fixing people that are prone to believing in conspiracies and distrusting authority is to put antidepressants in the water supply.
That is so creepy.
And psychotropic drugs being fed to you, right? And then there's so many things that they talk about doing, and you have to wonder, well, even if they were just talking about it, why are they just
why are they talking about it? And these are the least desirable people on Earth. We are ruled by rotting apple dolls. Have you ever seen an apple doll? It's literally a decaying apple that shrivels and looks funny and bloated. And that's who's running. Who's running us. And then you have the ordinary people where there's life and there's love and there's laughter. And then you have this ruling class that is just like a bunch of walking corpses.
Yeah. Yeah. We are ruled by psychopaths who are rotting zombies that I don't believe that they feel any other emotions but satisfaction from oppressing people.
Well, apparently it makes them feel safe because they know that there's a lot of people on the Earth. It's over 7 billion now, I guess. There's a lot of people, and they don't like it, and they never make the sacrifices that they want us to make. So they never miss a jet ride, they never miss a meal, they have a bunch of kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And on top of that, they know there's only one thing that we can do that can stop them. And if I were them, I put myself in their shoes a lot, and I say, if I believed that I was superior being beyond human, or if I believe human beings were cattle, useless eaters, and I wanted total control of the globe, what would be the one thing that I'm afraid of? And the only thing that can ever come to mind is that the people would unite and understand who the real enemy is and do something about
it.
If I woke up in my 72 bedroom castle and I looked out on my front lawn and I saw peaceful people that were going to stand there until my power was gone and there was no way to remove all of them, and they were well supplied with food and water and had porta potties delivered that were being routinely cleaned, and they had their own caches of food and water to be supplied so that even if I killed the supply chains that feed the big box stores, they wouldn't run out, and they could just lay siege through peace until things changed. Well, yeah, then I'd be afraid. But I can't see any other way that I'd be afraid.
Well,
if I were them, in a hypothetical situation, of course.
You do have a diabolical side. I sense that about you, Wallace. But,
well, I'm fierce for the people I love, and when somebody is aggressing against me and I've done nothing to provoke them, I do feel a sense of righteous anger.
Well, and when you put yourself in the shoes of the lizard people, I think usually you come up with something about right, because you're thinking more like they do, and it's hard for us normal people to put our minds in that place, because we don't think like that. I can't even imagine what it would take for me to put listening devices in everybody's house. That is weird.
Right.
That is weird. That is psychotic. And it's not something I would do. I'd be like, oh, look, I'm queen of the people. Let's make sure everybody has a puppy or something like that.
Right.
I would not.
And that's why you don't want power, right?
Well, you know, actually, to be fair, there's this great guy, G. Edward Griffin. He's been there forever, and he is still around. He is still saying smart stuff. He's been around forever. And he talks about how good people are guilty of resisting power. And that is so true, because I have walked away so many times in my life not wanting to be involved with petty tyrants. And there's another guy I heard laughing about how, like, all the people that you hated in school are the ones who are now forming the power networks. And all of the free thinkers who didn't want to be a part of that, we're now subject to their rules. And they're making all the rules, so.
The Ivy League schools almost feel like a funnel.
Yes,
for
totally.
Sociopathic people. And I wouldn't be surprised, considering the Rockefeller influences on the General Board of Education from back in the early 1900s that shaped modern education, that they devised not only a system that would breed workers instead of thinkers, but also one that would funnel the sociopaths to the Ivy League schools.
Yes.
So they could be groomed, they could be compromised while lying in coffins, reciting their sexual secrets to each other. So that later on...
Is that date night?
So that
Wallace?
Later on...
Is that what they do on right, date night? Yes. So romantic.
Yeah, it's like match game. It's like match game, except you just tell each other about the horrible things you've done to people and animals until they feel like they can trust you because they know all your dark
I know stuff. What you do to chickens. And then,
right. Yeah, you're going to have to do what I say now. Vote yes on UN Proposition 21 because, you know, if you don't, the chicken sex video comes up. So yeah, that's how the system is designed. And I don't even think there, when I heard that Trump was going to drain the swamp, all I said to myself was, well, we're all going to be standing in a desert when it's done because who is not in the swamp? There's so few.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's sad.
There'll be basically nobody left.
Yeah,
standing.
It's sad to still see people tossing around names and like, oh, well, you know, Josh Hawley seems like a good one. And, you know, Matt Gaetz, right. He has made a showing, right? But they always make showings. Like, new shills are born all the time, new generations. As soon as some of them become outed, like Trey Gowdy, anytime he's on a committee, nothing is going to happen. And people are like, oh, but he's so passionate. Okay, leave him on the committee. You are guaranteed nothing is going to come of it. And, okay. So
well, even DeSantis.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Even
yes.
When I look at DeSantis, yes. I say, how can a guy like that get away with what he's getting away with if it wasn't okay? If it wasn't okay by the cabal.
Oh, totally. Well, I think part of why Florida, I think, is doing okay is if you look at the wetlands map, and you look at where people are going to be allowed to live, I think there are corridors there where they're going to allow public use. And they do not have to suffer and be purged in the same ways that the areas that they need to empty will be. So, right. Like, if you look at that map and the protected areas on the West Coast, I think in 5 years, if we look back at the maps of the spikes and the wetlands projects, you will see them over. I wish I had wizard skills. I need some autists on my team to overlay those maps.
Everybody needs an autist.
Oh my god, do I ever. I need an autist and I need a wife. Because I have things in my refrigerator.
Well, the cartographers that created the corridor map that's being used, they had multiple papers that they drew from when it comes to wildlife management and sensitive environmental areas. We've already been given the blueprint. It was out there 15 years ago. Anybody can go look at it now. And when you look at that, you can see the regions, and there's going to come a time where whatever region that you're living in is the one that you're in for life. I mean, the things that are coming for us in the future is they're going to remove your ability to travel freely unmolested. They're going to remove your ability to decide what you're going to do for work. They're going to remove your ability to decide where you're going to live, how you're going to live, what kind of building you're going to live in. I mean, at the end of all of this, a few of us are left allowed to live so that we can clean the robot factories that are producing the workers to replace us until
you want to go with me to work at the robot factory?
Right. We get to live upstairs and eat gruel. For free. That's how we get paid.
Well, you know, Wallace,
it's totally environmentally friendly.
that's very green. That's very green. When we get our butts swapped, very green. Somewhere there's going to be a bunch of ducks choking on our butt swaps.
The turducken pill is hard to swallow. And you don't take it orally.
Oh, ow. Okay, so one of the things I see, especially between women and men, okay, you have this red suppository, right? You gotta purge. You gotta purge your soul of the dreams that you had, what you were hoping that life was gonna be, the trips you thought you were gonna take. Okay, purge it all. And one of the things you can do is just be awake. Because with women and men, they exploit our weaknesses. They exploit the fact that we're different animals, we don't always understand each other. And they have done this, this fake war between us. And to make it that we can't get along, okay, so they take that alliance. And what that means is a man does not have his ally and does not have his confidant. And the woman, likewise, does not have the sheltering tree. Because a man, for a woman, a man is a sheltering tree. It's a safe place to go and rest because we don't have the physical strength. As much as people can tell me I can be a firefighter, good luck if I'm trying to carry you out of a burning building.
Right.
I can.
You know, I've always said,
yeah.
I'm okay with anybody that's strong enough to carry me out of a building, but what I'm not okay with is lowering the standards so that people that aren't can get in. And
hey, yeah,
that's my
and maybe you know there's a lot of strong people. Okay, fine. But as far as women and men, this war is fake, and it's a fake race war. What this is a war from the most rich onto the most poor, from the richest against the poorest, and all these bad things that they want to do, they want to create the illusion that it's due to the people. They want to pay people to attack the Capitol and pretend it was regular people visiting from Vermont. They want to destroy the stock market and pretend it was a bunch of neckbeards on Reddit who dared to step out of line. But right. Even just being awake, you don't have to change the world. You just have to be awake and realize you're being manipulated and don't fall for it. And you can be of service to the people around you and love them. Don't have rage at women you don't know, which I know is hard to do.
Absolutely.
I know it's hard to do because we see a lot of I see craziness and I'm like, who are you people?
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a lot of hatred happening.
Mm-hmm. All the way around.
It's being misdirected and it's from women to men and men to women. Women are hating the worst example of men, and it can be broadened. It gets broadened over top of men that don't deserve that, and then it's the same thing in reverse. But then it's also between the poor and the rich, because when we look at, like, I'm a full-on laissez-faire capitalist. I believe that get the government out of the deal. Let me decide what it's worth. Let the other person decide what it's worth. If we can agree, nobody else matters. And that's my thoughts on how business should be conducted. But when I look at the rich versus the poor, I see a trap that a lot of people on the right now are starting to fall into, and it's the same trap that was laid by Marxists that create class warfare. And they create this illusion that all rich are one way and all poor are another way, and it's a false dichotomy. The rich that we should be concerned with are the rich like Mark Cuban and Jeff Bezos, who are anti-American, they're anti-individualist, they made their fortunes on opportunities that they now want to take away from other people. And we can look around and we can see good rich people who are on the right side of the argument, who are saying, no, I want the people that are coming up now that have the ambition and the drive to build something like I did, to have the opportunities I had. In fact, I want their opportunities to be even better than mine. And those are the people that we need to rally around and support. And we need to not paint with a broad brush and find our allies in all places, rich and poor, stand together as armies of one that are united in ideology and are not fighting with each other, because that's what they want, right?
Oh, yeah. And I know some amazing, very, very wealthy people. Amazing. And they love the United States, and they want the United States to go on. So when we say from the ultra-rich, this is not the 1%. It's the 0.000001%. That is...
It's the trillionaire, oligarchs, and the recent inductions into their little club, like Bezos and Cuban, who made their money and chose to buy their ticket into that dark world.
Yeah, and everyone is not being allowed to do business at all right now. So when you say laissez-faire, there's nothing laissez-faire about the government forcing everyone out of business so that they can funnel everything to the hands of the government, all the ownership, and have people on their knees. Nothing natural about that.
Right, and there's so much to it when it comes to how they're trying to transition us into this new one world monetary system and this one world market. As I say to people all the time, and I get grief for this, I've always suspected that Bitcoin was the one world currency. And I ask myself, if I was trying to impose the new world order, would I get what I want by forcing it down people's throats? Or what if I were to convince them that by them running that network and building it themselves by buying computers and mining it and setting up these payment networks to run Bitcoin, that they were fighting the establishment and that they were going to disrupt it as they like to say in the Bitcoin world, disruptive technology.
Mm.
Well, obviously, it's much better to get the people to build their own system of control than it is to impose it on them and have them resist. And when you tell them that it's actually a weapon against evil, and you can sell it to them in a way where it sounds believable, mm-hmm. for instance, they always say about how Bitcoin can't be controlled, it can't be regulated.
I don't believe that.
It's right. Well, the thing is that it's true, you can't control Bitcoin, but what you can control is the supply of goods and services people need to survive mm-hmm. and how they can acquire those services. So tell me how you can run the Silk Road black market and buy the eggs and medicine that you need, the insulin that you need for your kid with Bitcoin, if the delivery drivers have to pass through a checkpoint to prove that they've got appropriate paperwork that says that, you know, they're approved to take this insulin to you.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't matter if you control the money, if you can control how it's spent and how the goods and services that are being purchased can arrive at your door. And this is something that people in the Bitcoin world have a tough time seeing because they've bought the one side of it so deeply they can't understand the other side.
It would probably help if people didn't buy anything that deeply. Because I see people getting tied into these narratives and these storylines that only cost them and it costs all of us because they're so caught up in false things that they don't have any time to live their lives and get more food set aside in their own pantry. Like, they're so busy waiting for a savior to show up and the details of how that's going to work. It negates everything else that they're supposed to be doing in their lives.
Right. And there's a big problem right now is a lot of people are waiting for someone else to save them. And I'm a firm believer that you should always have contingencies. And there's nothing wrong with trusting a plan and also simultaneously planning in case that plan fails mm-hmm. to have another option. And we could have very limited time. As I said before, how can you defend yourself when your options to defend yourself are completely taken away from you?
Yeah.
And if we wait too long, that's absolutely what will happen to all of us, is our guarantee is always being able to fall back on strength in numbers. Mm. And at some point, that will become an option that's no longer available to us.
And part of the option that we have right now is just to not be a slob, to not be lazy, to work out your body, to look for healthier food, to look for a life that you want to live, to build a network of people that you love, to actively engage with your life instead of letting it slowly be drained from you, letting your soul be drained out of your body with paperwork and regulations. How about just not being such an easy armchair sloth?
And also to actually look at the hard things, like what they've already taken from us, and to understand that they're going to keep taking more until it's all gone. And by not stopping it, by not doing everything we can do, we're guaranteeing that, but somehow believing we're going to keep things by doing nothing. And what have they already taken from us? There's people out there right now who, and a lot of people know somebody in this situation, they had to watch their loved one die through plexiglass.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to attend the funeral because they weren't named George.
Yeah.
They had their children taken away. They are being put in mental institutions that used to be reserved for people that thought they were unicorns. But no, those people are allowed on the street now. But if you distrust what a doctor that changes his story every 2 weeks is saying today, then that's a room for you to go to. They're taking our kids. They're taking our right to die with our loved one. These things are already being taken, and it doesn't get better from here. It only gets worse. And
except
it's never going to be
easier. Except if people
easier.
Push back just by waking
right.
up.
With doing nothing. With doing nothing, I can tell everyone, it never gets easier than it is today.
Yep, and I can go to the gas station and I can run into a whole building full of people who have no idea anything is going on. They don't care. They're watching Dancing with the Stars. I don't know. Right. But those of us who are more concerned, we can actually find each other. We can build some kind of friendships and connections and be working on the lives that we want, even if the people at the gas station are completely checked out and they don't mind.
Well, something that I've always lived by is I don't like the word I can't, the words I can't.
That's so mature of you.
I like
That's
to
very
look,
mature.
I like to look for what can I do.
Right? I know. You're a power
because,
thinker, Wallace.
Well, if I sit around complaining about what I can't do, what am I going to get done?
I know. I still like to do it, though.
But it can be fun sometimes, yeah.
I'm an expert
but
complainer.
If it doesn't lead you to an answer, then there's a problem, right? If it doesn't lead you to something positive, then you're spending energy telling yourself why you shouldn't try. And
Roger.
I think all of us have the ability to think, what can I do in my personal life to make a difference? Maybe there's people around me that don't know, like you say, at the gas station, that don't even know what's going on. Now, how can we talk to them? Should we barrage them with as much information as possible and have them turn away from us? Or should we find those little things that are brainworms in the minds of these people that they won't be able to shake, that they can't argue against, that stand on their own without getting lost in the weeds of science that's always changing every 2 weeks? Let's just find those little arguments that can't be easily dismissed and plant them in people's minds in a way where it bothers
them.
Well,
and also just being free and not being afraid is a huge deal. So, like, I guarantee when you walk outside, there's a bunch of people who are terrified of each other. And when you are just a free human being, as you were born, and you navigate the world that way, people see it and they notice. They notice that you're not terrified, and then they wonder why. And I, as a girl, I notice that a lot of times the guys will be, they're trying to cooperate and follow the rules, right? So if I, as a girl, shake their hand, in fact, I shook a guy's hand the other day, the ultimate crime in 2021. You can blow up whole nations like our government did to the whole Middle East, just blow up all those people and just drone every, that is completely legal and fine, but shaking a guy's hand is questionable material. He was a veteran from the Korean War, and I shook his hand, and he was like, "You don't mind?" I said, "No, I don't mind shaking your hand."
Yeah, they've tried to take that from us too, haven't they?
Yeah, it's made for a lot of isolation between men and women. And I think women, we talk in different ways, but I think especially for men, it's even more isolating. And they don't know how to communicate about
men it. Men tend to get a lot less physical contact than women on a daily basis. I mean, female friends, they can hug each other a lot. They're very touchy-feely. And at least men with normal levels of testosterone don't tend to do that as much. And human contact is essential for being well-regulated. It's the same as we all need to get out into nature, reset our circadian rhythm. We need to, you know, spend at least a few days a year in a forest somewhere to reset our clocks. And we already don't get enough of that, most of us. And now they're taking the other things that regulate us, which is human contact, just social interaction, taking away our ability to just even read facial expressions when someone's talking. Are huge, huge things, especially psychologically. We might not be aware of them consciously, but they're absolutely having an impact, and it's not for the good. These psychological effects of all of these measures we talked about before with dehumanization, well, what does it mean to be human? Part of what it means to be human is to be regulated in a way where we're a natural animal on this planet. There's a reason why studies have proven that it's healthy and good for us to reconnect with nature at least once a year for a few days, go camping, touch the ground, take off your socks, stand on the earth, you know, feel the soil between your toes, wade through a creek. These are things that are good for us. And in a sense, they're having a physical impact, but also a psychological impact, maybe even a spiritual impact.
Totally.
And there's so many elements to these things that regulate us, and we're very social creatures. So when you take away the social aspect of being human, you're taking a part of humanity. And if you can't read facial expression, and babies, like, what are we doing to babies that are growing up in the world looking at human faces that they can't see? And before even a baby can speak a language, they're reading faces. So what is that doing to the future for that child? What kind of development are they going to have? And we don't know these things, but we're risking so much, and we're doing it on so many unknowns, and so much of it is designed to break the things that regulate us. And psychologically, it's a negative impact. It's being done on the back of, you know, saving an 85-year-old with COPD so they can have a couple more years in a home that they're currently locked in against their will.
Yeah, they don't even care about those elderly people at all. Our government doesn't care about those people, and they have no mercy for them.
Right. So there's cognitive dissonance there again, that the people who obviously don't care about these people that we're all trying to save are taking away our rights on their behalf. Doesn't make sense, and anyone that's buying it, there's something in the back of your brain that's not okay with it. There's a brain worm that you just can't completely get rid of that's bothering you, even if you're not consciously aware and you've never really thought about it. I think everybody's got that in the back of their heads, and when we find an argument that can't be easily dismissed and not get lost in the weeds of vaccines and how they work and which ones don't, if we just find those simple arguments that feed those brain worms, I think we can take a lot of people that are against us and bring them to our side.
Well, I think you say a lot just by standing there. You don't need to say a word. Just a free man is a rare sight to see. A free human being in 2021 is a rare sight to see.
I'll just say that if we're in public with strangers, absolutely, our body language, our posture, the way we speak, if we speak like free people, then other people that are slaves can hear what freedom sounds like.
It gives them permission.
And if there's... Right. They can see, I'm getting away with it.
Yeah.
You can't. But then there's people in our personal lives that may be disagreeing with us, and those are the ones I'm talking about feeding their brain worms.
Yeah, because sometimes I just drive the long way around.
Yeah, it's tempting. Yeah. Well, if you're low energy, don't bother, right? Like, you don't want to go into battle during rest mode. If you need rest mode, it's okay to not always be fighting.
Well, and I think
we got to start
for you and me both. We're the most focused on what we do with ourselves, because we both know it's easy to call out what other people are doing wrong, and it's the hardest thing to focus on yourself and go inward. So
absolutely.
But as this world is so out of control, the things that are in our control are actually very powerful. The deepest, most profound rebellion is getting up and being alive and being a human and showing humanity to the other people around you and reminding them of the world that is being taken, the world that is full of kindness and laughter and love and jokes and togetherness and skin. You know, they've tried to get rid of this whole idea of a man and a woman alone in a room together with skin. They want that all surveilled and sanitized and sterilized and stifled, monitored, eliminated. That right there is criminal.
When you have public health officials talking about how everyone should just resign themselves to interact through glory holes.
Oh my God.
then if you're buying that, you have to really look in the mirror. You have to really look in the mirror and ask yourself how much you love authority, how much of a statist you are, because only somebody that is willfully blind can hear a public health official talking about glory holes and not start to wonder what's going on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. By the way, I've still yet to read the scientific journal that talks about glory holes and COVID-19 transmission.
Oh, my.
But if anyone's got it, I'd really like to read that. I want to know if there was a double blind done. I'd like to know what were the conditions in the placebo group. You know, did they think that it was a glory hole, but it wasn't? I don't know.
And how much did everybody weigh? Ooh.
true. Obesity is always a factor. I want to know that metric.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, danger, danger. You are dangerous, Wallace. These dangerous thought crimes.
I just care about science. I just believe in science.
Oh, it's science.
That's all
it's
it is.
Science. Thank you, science. Yeah. Thank you, science.
Believe her. Science is wonderful. She's great. Believe her.
Science me too. Will set you free, Wallace.
Hashtag me too. I believe in science too.
I feel like we had kind of a colon cleanse today.
Yeah, you know what? I think I felt the coffee, and I feel pretty clean
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you'll feel good. You'll feel good. You know, once you let go of that old steak that you ate 10 years ago.
Right. And the false paradigm, it's like Salisbury steak. It's not even the good stuff, right?
Yeah, so, you know how they do the...
Why would you hold on to that?
They do those parasite commercials and everything where... And then when people start drinking green juice, they're like, my colon weighs 15 pounds less than it did.
It's an amazing feeling, right? It really is. I recommend everybody do it. It's time.
It's
okay?
Time for the purge.
Yeah, you got what you could out of the oral pill, and now it's time for the next step, because this is not just a one-time thing. This is a process that
just
never ends.
Just have paper towels.
Constantly. Yeah, be prepared, you know. Take a week off of work. Do what you need to
Did
do.
Did you see that cartoon about the guy and the woman are together, and someone says, oh, wait, we need protection, and they go and get a COVID mask?
Oh, man, no, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
You should send that to me once we're back where there's Wi-Fi.
I love being away from Wi-Fi. You know what I love?
Me too.
I love being away from Wi-Fi, but having you here.
Yes. This is where humanity
That's
exists,
nice.
Not over some digital 5G reinterpretation of the
Chunked
human being.
And formed.
Yeah.
I like you better in one piece.
Looks like this fire might be getting a bit low here. I should probably throw another log on there.
Okay, Wallace.